The one and only AJ Vassar is on this podcast today. And AJ, he is somebody that I really connected with. When you know, sometimes you connect with folks and you start chatting with them and you start vibing and you're like, man, this person can really bring a lot to our community. That's what I got from AJ. And on today's conversation, we're going to talk about how being someone of color, how he's been able to thrive and succeed. But more so, we want to hear about his experience. And one of the principles that we're going to teach you today, hopefully this can help you to get outside of your shell if you're afraid of selling or if you're not selling to the best of your capacity, is this notion of what an entrepreneur is and how that ties directly to sales. Think you're going to like this one. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another great episode of Selling in Color. My name is Donald Kelly, the sales evangelist, and I'm so excited for another great episode. I'm so excited to be here with you today. And today I have a guest. His name is AJ Vassar, and AJ is going to be sharing with us this concept of what is an entrepreneur and how this ties directly to sales. Because people of color, people who look like you and me, again, only 20% of us are in professional selling, but most of us are selling throughout our lives in so many different ways. And I wanted to highlight AJ to hear about some of the things that he's doing, some of the programs that he has to offer. And you're going to hear what he charges and how he was able to get to this level. It's because of the education that he's received and the how he's been able to guide people towards success. He's going to demonstrate all of this to you today. And I want to help you and also someone else you know. So please share this podcast with them. If this is your first time listening to one of our podcasts or watching one of our videos, please go and subscribe. Just hit that subscription button. I would greatly appreciate that. And subscribe to the show. Also, leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It would go a long way. When someone else come and they can see that the show is great, they're seeing your testimony of that. It just will fuel more curiosity. And I appreciate that. Let's go ahead and dive into this episode today and connect with our good friend, AJ. AJ, welcome to the show, man.
Man, it's a pleasure to be here, brother. It is so nice to be here. Taking time off for my beautiful day in Medellin, Colombia, South America.
You have to put that one in there, man, making me feel bad.
Hey, man, it's so great to look at people's pictures in the U.S. and everybody's in, like, you know, winter clothes. And I'm like, man, I wear shorts every day.
Well, you got to share that Columbia life. So you may have me and a couple of the podcasters listening to this come down there, come and hang out with you, Medellin.
Come on, brother.
And I imagine the cost of living is not too hard, right?
You know what? It's all relative, man. I tell people like this, you know, think about this. If you make a certain amount in Atlanta, you can live comfortably. You take that amount to New York, you broke, right? It's the same thing, right? It's the same thing.
All right. So all the perspectives. So Atlanta.
Yeah.
So, you know, certain parts of the U.S., you can, if you live in California, you take that money, go to like Iowa, man, you're a millionaire.
Oh my God. What?
Stop. You got playing. That like, Iowa you're, money you're, trying to go to
you're
California.
In the top 1% of income earners in Iowa. What you talking about?
So good.
What are you talking about? No, that's real,
man. Oh, man. Well, that's we want to make some of these salespeople listening to this episode feel like they're the 1%ers out there with their income. And you got some experience with that with your sales career, as well as the business side of things that you run and your mentality. And I think that's the biggest part. I want to tap into what you have, AJ. This, I feel that when it's all said and done, you train, give two salespeople the same education, same enablement tools, same training. Those sales, two salespeople can perform. But this is where one killed the other. And performance. And I think that comes down to the mental side, your mindset, the way that you think and how you're performing, because that's where it's at. I mean, sales is not that hard if you do the things. It's a matter of doing what you know you're supposed to do regularly. And got to get disciplined on that.
Sales is all about sales is BS.
BS.
Sales is BS, right? And by BS, I mean your belief system.
Mm.
Right? It's just a transfer of energy.
And, you know, that part of, we're going to tap into that a little bit further. And I want to set the audience up. I told them a little bit about you in a teaser and why I have you here and, you know, how much I'm excited for this episode. But give us a little bit more about what you do and, you know, what did bring you to Columbia?
So I've been in sales for at least since I think I started in college. And it's funny, I took a marketing class in college and my professor said, I don't care what grade you have in here. If you can get someone to implement your program, because we had to give like this marketing summary that they had to implement. If you can get them to implement it, I'll give you an A.
Shoot.
I never went to class again.
That's it.
I just started looking for people to implement what the marketing proposal, right? Yeah. That was my whole thing. I don't need class. I need to sell you on implementing this. Wow. Right. And because I play football, I went to class like when I knew the coaches was coming by. But other than that, I promise you, on the day of the final, when we had to turn in the presentation, I had a 14% in that class.
14%.
14%.
And then, but you sold the thing, so you got the A.
So I got the A.
My man.
Yep. So I think that's when the sales process started, because I was like, yo, I just have to get people to say yes. Right. And it's about finding out what people need and, you know, being that solution, right? In sales, I think a lot of times we don't realize it comes down to helping people, right? Do you really have a heart to help people? And if you have a heart to help people, then we're going to do everything in our power to do that. And helping them a lot of time isn't teaching them or solving their problem, because YouTube solves people's problems for free.
Amen. Yeah.
The problem is that if you don't pay for it, you don't respect it most of the time.
Yeah.
Right.
100% on that.
I do courses as well, right? So I have my sister and my mother. My sister took my course and paid for my course. Mm-hmm. And she said, AJ, I'm beating myself up because you've been telling me this stuff for the last 5 years and I never listened. I don't know why she thought I was going to put something different in the course. Right? But it wasn't until she paid for it that she started respecting it.
Yeah. You know, I think there's so much in that conversation there too, AJ. Like we have these meetups, these sales meetups, and we just did one in St. Louis. We had 120 people say they're going to come to it. It's free, the first one. I mean, you heard me say the first one was free. And some people had the misillusion because of the, you know, time that we're in. They thought it was going to be like a Zoom or, you know, just a stream feature. So okay. I'll give that to a third of them. So you still take a third from 120. That's different. Then you had probably about 10% had to cancel because of stuff that came up. But then that other percentage, we had about 30 of them actually show up the day of. But what happened between the rest there? Because one of the things that we learned, it was because it was free and they didn't value that at that point. They're like, if I don't show, it's okay. Rush hour. It's 5 o'clock. I don't know if I want to go home right now, go chill and watch Netflix. But if you paid even $10, there's a value in that. You're like, crap, I need to show up. I got to spend my time or enjoy the value because of the money I spent already. So
people, you need to remember this in sales, right? People value things that they think is rare, right? Think
about time for the people in the back.
People value things that they think are rare.
Come on, man. There you go.
Okay. So real case example, right? Mm-hmm. Gold, diamonds, silver, Louis Vuitton, Christian Dior, all that stuff. We think that they're rare.
Yeah.
Right? So we value them. We put a high price tag on them. But air and water, we can care less about. Now, what's really more valuable? Like when it comes to human life, what's more valuable?
Air and water.
But why don't we value it? Because it's not rare.
Yeah.
Everybody has access to it, right? So whenever one thing that I do is I never call things free, ever. Mm. It's complimentary, but I want you to know somebody paid for it.
There you go. Economics.
Maybe you didn't pay for it, but somebody paid for it.
Yeah. No, I like that idea, the complimentary program, complimentary meetup or whatnot. I think that makes... It does give you the notion that, yeah, there was some transaction happened to make this happen. So it's complimentary. Even that complimentary breakfast at the hotel you go to.
Somebody
paid for those muffins or whatnot.
Yes.
To make it a continental. Complimentary continental breakfast.
Yes.
So you go back to this. So you're demonstrating the sales experience. Are you currently right now, from what I understand, you're doing sales and also side hustle?
First of all, everything is sales to me.
Yeah.
Everything is sales, right? Like, and I want to point this out because a lot of people don't realize. They think, oh man, like, oh, these guys are big, so they don't, you know, they don't have to hustle, right? I had to sell myself to get on your show. You see what I'm saying? Like, people don't think about that.
Yeah.
Right? And it's because I felt that your show, your audience would be of value, right? Yeah. I felt I could give them value. I felt they could give me value. So I had to sell myself to be on your show. When I want to go out on a date, I have to sell myself. As an entrepreneur, yo, like I told you before, entrepreneur is nothing but a fancy word for salesperson.
I want to dig into that further, because we have folks here who are listening for this podcast's sake. We have people who may be new to sale, or people who have, you know, who've been a part of, been selling for a minute, but this podcast has a twist, because we are highlighting people who look like us, who can share their experiences, what has worked for them. And that's what this title of this episode is all about, is really this concept. Tell me the story where you got that from. You mentioned that to me before.
My first millionaire mentor, his name was Dennis Vinson. I was a barber in a city called Cape Girardeau, Missouri. And mm-hmm. Dennis was probably worth $20 million, right?
Oh, goodness.
So, you know, I'm cutting his hair, and, you know, I'm noticing when it's just me and him, he talks to me and he gives me advice and he teaches me. Everything he teaches me is about sales.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, I'm trying to run a business. Like, and he's like, do you realize what an entrepreneur is? And I'm like, no, what's your definition of entrepreneur? He was like, yo, it's just a fancy word for salesperson. Like, it's just a doctored up form of salesperson. And that's because I want to all my entrepreneurs out there, think about this. Until you make a sale, you really don't have a profitable business.
No.
All business starts with the sale. All
100%.
Business. So you can't be a successful entrepreneur if you don't know how to make sales. And people are like, oh, I'll get people to sell for me. Well, you have to sell them to sell for you.
Yep. There's people, I think there's this, one of the notions that I've pointed out before I was doing an event with Calendly and did a webinar with them. And one of the things that I shared in that webinar was that as an entrepreneur, there's something that people don't recognize. There's a power that you have as an entrepreneur. If you're the business owner, you have so much more excitement, belief, and knowledge about the product or service more than anybody else on your team. Because when it's all said and done, they're team members and they may believe in the cause, but there's still, you're the vision. You're the vision. And when you are able to sell, you have certain powers that people don't necessarily, team members can't possess to that level. So you're right. There is that level of entrepreneurship, and you can't pawn that off as far as like thinking, I mean, eventually at some point, you're going to get to a point where you can have team members to help scale your organization. But either way, you're like, for me right now, I still am the one that's closing the big deals or bringing those people to the table, because I have that's what my special gift is to the company. And it just makes it so much better than my BDRs trying to reach out to this other CEO. You know what I mean? It's just something about it.
Yeah. Whenever you're doing big deals, you're going to have to do it as the owner, right? Yeah. One of the reasons why I still believe titles are important is because owners talk to owners.
Yep. 100%.
Right? The VP of sales typically isn't going to talk to an owner of another company. He's going to talk to the VP of sales of that company, right? Mm-hmm. So as a owner, then I'm going to talk to other owners, which means that I have to be able to sell people who are in sales, who understand sales, who understand the entrepreneur is nothing but a fancy word for salesperson. So, you know, it's very important.
What about folks who are listening to this episode who... they grew up with they didn't have the same luxury of understanding sales in this vein. They see sales as a nasty four-letter word, or that you're being pushy, or it's, you know, you're tricking somebody into doing something that they don't want to do or whatnot. Can you speak to that and help demystify some of those, or debunk some of those notions for people in the community?
So once again, going back to this, is BS, right? It's all about your belief system. If you believe, and one of my seminars that I do, I actually stand in front of the room and I tell people I say, hey, think of any word that you can come up with. When you hear the word salesman, tell me all the words that come up, right?
Yeah.
And I would even tell your audience to do that, right? When I say salesman, what comes up for you, right? Slimy car salesman, not truthful lawyer, commission breath. Right. I mean, you just have all of these things when it comes to salespeople, because that's what we see on TV, right? Or that's what we experienced when we had to go buy a car because we didn't have money to go to a good dealership that actually had real, right? That actually had capable, competent salespeople. Okay. So when you write down all of these words, realize that that's what you're combating when you're calling yourself a salesperson, because all of that's inside of you. You believe that about salespeople. So what I do is I actually have them write all, I write all the words down. Any word they tell me, right? Manipulative, anything. I write it down there. Then I take them through my sales process. And then I offer them my program for $15,000. And at the end, I say, was I any of these things?
Yeah.
How many of you would like to sign up? And I get about 75% of the room put their hand up.
Has absolutely nothing to do with those terms that they have in their head. So it's that brand. It's that belief, man. Shoot, I like that idea. That's some good odds there. 75% of the room.
75%. Because what I do is I feel like this. If I'm ethical in my process, I can tell you exactly what I'm doing and it's still going to work. I literally will show them, hey, this is what I'm doing when I do this.
Yeah.
This is why I want you to do this. This is what I'm going to teach you. This is why you should do this in your sales process, right? When you heard me say this statement right here, when you heard me anchor this number, this is why I did that, right? Yeah. When I tell you that I have that to personally coach with me, it's $30,000, which it is. That's how much people pay me to work one-on-one with me, right? I do that because that's an anchor.
Mm.
So then when I tell you that the program is only 15, now I just gave you relief because I cut it in half.
Yeah.
Right? Money so I'm bank, teaching them as I'm selling them and they like, sign me up.
I want what you're offering, AJ.
Hey, man, sign me up.
This was clear. Ooh. That's what they're saying. Because it makes total sense when you can do that. Because I feel that so many of us, Jeffrey Gittimer said it. He said that people love to buy, but they hate to be sold.
I hate to be sold. Yeah.
So I think that goes back to the control issue. If we can help people feel that they're in control, we can be transparent. We can show them what's going on. Then they're like, okay, I like this. I'm choosing to do it. I'm not being tricked into doing it. I'm open to this idea. I want to purchase. And as we are seen as America, we love to consume. We spend money on all kinds of stuff because we like to do that. So we will go camp out in front of stores for get $100 off a TV. Like,
yeah.
So people like to do that. You know, go back to this concept then of this. You told me something about Bill Gates, that all the greats know how to sell. You point out like all of these entrepreneurs. Talk to me about that example you gave with Bill Gates and also how these greats know how to sell. How did they gain that skill to sell?
So a lot of people don't realize that when Bill Gates worked his first deal out, that he had 6 weeks to create the product because the product wasn't created yet. Like they paid him. Like he sold the concept because he believed he can do it, right? Yeah. And they gave him money and said, you have 6 weeks to come up with the product, right?
Yeah.
So my thing is, if Bill Gates can do that with a multi-million-dollar product, why couldn't I do that with a course?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I did. Bro, I think to date, I've sold over $400,000 worth of courses. I have not made one course that I didn't sell first. Mm. I always pre-sell my courses. If anybody wants to create a course, do not create it first. Sell it first.
Yeah. There's power
in
that. Yeah. And if you think about it, and I think in that vein, I think it's ingenious. What I think happens in the mind of the person is, or the individual, or just another offshoot of it, or a benefit of it. If I'm creating a course and I tell you what is going to be in the course and I ask you, what's your biggest hiccup right now? Let's say it's closing. Let's just make that up. If that's my course is all around closing, I can tell you these are some of the things that we focus on with closing and, you know, whatever, the pitch, so to speak. But then if I'm talking to you and say, AJ, tell me what's some of the biggest challenges you're facing when it comes to closing? You're giving me intel now that I can then utilize in that course. So I'm answering a question because if I ask five people that, probably 3 out of 4 is going to tell me the same thing. So then I know exactly what to give you because that's the exact problem that you're facing right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If there's a movie I love, Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
Which is about Frank Abagnale. And he went and taught at BYU, the university.
Yeah.
Now, this is a teenager, right? He's posing as a professor at a university with kids probably older than him.
Yeah.
And they were like, how did you do that? And he said, I just stayed 1 week ahead of the class.
Yep. Yep.
Why are we scared to do that?
No. We feel that because I think there's this idea that we feel go back to the BS, like the belief systems that we've been able to acquire, the belief system that you have to be an expert to do this, you belief system in sales that I have to have tons of years of experience to do that. I don't need to. One of my big problems that I had, AJ, when I first started off selling, I was reaching out to this guy at a bank. He was like a VP, and I was intimidated. I was scared because I'm like, man, this guy got like 30 years on me. He is in banking, which is highly regulatory and it's a regulatory industry. And I don't know the details about the stuff. And I'm trying to tell him about our paperless solution software. But here's what I didn't realize 2 years later, AJ, is that I knew more about paperless software than this guy did. Even though he knows a lot about banking and about, you know, years of experience in the business world, in my 1 year in that role, I knew more than he did. I was an expert compared to him in my in the paperless solution. And sometimes I feel we have to know more than the prospect in everything. And oftentimes you don't need to know, just need to be 1 week ahead. and you can help to solve that problem.
I'm going to give your audience something to take away that they can use right now if they're in sales in the business. I call it the bump down method, right? Mm. So what I would do is I would call the owner of the company. I'll never forget, I got the owner of Yum Brands, which owns, I believe, Pepsi, whoever. I got the CEO on the phone.
My goodness.
So I got him on the phone and I forget what I was offering, but he said, I forget what number he said. I'm on a $7 billion company. You think I know what the hell that is? I was like, yo, I understand. Who should I talk to?
Yeah.
Right? Talk to Alan. Perfect. Bump down. Now I call Alan and say, hey, I talked to David. David told me to call you. Now we on the same level. I don't care what position I'm in.
Yep. Because you got that nod from the top.
I got the nod from the top down. So think about this, right? Everybody's calling the gatekeeper. I never call the gatekeeper because the gatekeeper is typically under the person that I want to talk to. I'm going to call the person above the person I want to talk to, because if the gatekeeper tells you AJ called, you push him aside. I don't know AJ Vassar. Who the hell is this, right?
Yeah.
If the owner says, if I say, hey, David told me to call you.
Yeah.
If I call one of your staff right now and I say, hey, Donald told me to reach out.
Yeah.
They're going to break their neck answering that email.
Let me see what you said. What did you say? How can I help you?
Exactly. Exactly. So I always start at the top.
Yeah.
I always start at the top. I never start at the bottom.
And I wish we could go on further. We're going to bring you on back on the show and also bring you back on our other podcast, the Sales Evangelist as well. I'm excited for that. But even with this, as we get ready to wrap up here, this notion that it seems like everyone should know how to sell. Everyone should be able to learn that. You know, what's one fundamental? You gave us that idea with the bump down, but if there's one fundamental of somebody that's brand new to sales, or they're, they for years they've been a finance person and now they're transitioned into sales, or they heard about the money they can earn in a profession like this. There's someone that looks like you and me, someone of color, and they're thinking about this thing, but they're still apprehensive. What is the biggest lesson or education that you would want them to leave with that's going to help them to have success in their role as a sales professional? That was a loaded question.
No, I love it. The biggest thing I would tell you is when I first got started, everybody said as a salesman, you had to have enthusiasm, right? Yeah. And I thought enthusiasm was, this is my product. I love it. No, that's not enthusiasm, right?
Yeah.
The enthusiasm, take the last four letters in it, right? Mm. I am sold myself.
Wow. Wow.
That's what you need as a salesperson. You got to be sold yourself, because in sales, I don't need you to believe me. I need you to believe that I believe me.
I love that. I love it.
That's the biggest takeaway. I believe me, right? That's how, when people talk about selling like higher ticket stuff, how do I sell people 30,000, 15,000? Because I believe me.
Yeah.
There's no chink in my armor. Yeah. I am sold myself.
Oh my goodness. And this is why people get so... they can smell it like a Doberman, right? When you come out with that fear, and I think we can give you a discount on our package if you believe it. There's something about belief; it's contagious.
I don't give discounts. I don't give discounts.
That's not my vocabulary, man. Right. What are you talking about?
I sound like Allen Iverson when I said practice.
Practice.
Oh, practice. No, man. You don't want me to discount my results. Come on, bro.
I like that. I mean, somebody's going to say, if you want a discount, can you give a discount? Yeah, I don't choose not to give discounts. But if you'd like to, I can discount the value for you.
Right. I mean, come on, man. Like,
I discount the results for you.
What are we doing here? What are we doing? No, I don't give discounts, right?
AJ, tell us about how you can help somebody listening to this podcast. They're a sales professional. Anything that you have that they can take advantage of, any products or where they can go to connect with you or whatnot?
Yo, all of my social media is at AJ Vassar, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'm getting better on Instagram and Facebook. I'm putting more stuff out there. But my thing is, jump on a call with me, man. Like, I'm a real person. Like,
yeah.
Holla at me. Email me. Like, hit me on Facebook. Tell me you want my calendar link. I'll send you my calendar link. Let's jump on a 15-minute call. Because a lot of times, this is what we're scared to do. We're scared to talk to each other face-to-face, right? But at being a person of color, and I actually wore this shirt because it's colorful. I just wanted to point that out. That's the only, this is the only reason I wore the shirt today, because it's selling in color. So, but being a person of color, it says something when you say, hey, jump on here with me. I want to look you in your eyes, right? I want you to see that I believe in me, right? I am sold myself. I have total conviction. There's no chink in my armor, right? So jump on here. So if your people want to connect with me, jump on a phone call with me, right? My thing is, typically the first time I jump on the phone with people, I don't even let them buy. That's another trick I use. I don't even let you buy the first time we're on a call, right? I'm gonna just challenge your belief system.
I think that's gonna you get them longing for more. They're gonna want to come back for something else.
Exactly. Yo, hey, so all right, from where I'm from, when you're getting a person hooked on drugs, you don't make them pay the first time. You just give it to them.
Yeah, you get them.
You just give it to them, and then they get hooked because they're like, "Wow, that was amazing. I want more." Perfect. Yeah.
I love it, man. AJ, this is awesome, man. Well, listen, I'm going to go ahead and put all your stuff in the show notes so folks can get access to you so they can connect with you for that 15 minutes and get hooked. And I promise you, this is going to be a good habit that you guys are going to build when you connect with somebody like AJ. Tons of wisdom here. AJ, I hope you enjoy life down there in Medellin. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, man.
You're very, very welcome, man. It was a blessing to be here. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Listen, that was AJ Vassar. I want you to go ahead and connect with him. Tell him that you heard him on the Sales Evangelist podcast. Check out some of the amazing things that he's doing. Check out his offering and how he's helping others who are just like you and me. And seeing how someone who looks like us, just how they're like killing it in sales. It's absolutely amazing and inspiring. And we need more people like AJ. This is why I brought him. And hopefully it can help you and help somebody else you know. If you haven't done so already, go ahead and check out our sponsors as well and their offering, because they're giving things and sharing services that can benefit you and your team. I don't bring people on that I don't feel is going to help my audience, my friends, and I see you as my friend. So go ahead and check that out and let me know what you think. As always, I want you to be able to be so much more successful than me and our guests, that we're just giving you all of this wisdom at a complimentary rate. It has no charge to you. It's the only thing I ask is that you find value, you share it with other people, and also you leave us that rating and review. Again, thank you. I appreciate you. We don't want to sit there and beg for a piece of the pie. We want to give you the knowledge and wisdom so that you don't have to do that, so you can go out and make your own pie. Thank you so much for being here. Appreciate you. I appreciate you listening to this episode today. There are many different things you could be doing, but you took the time to listen to this podcast. And for that, I'm truly grateful. If you haven't done so already, go ahead and leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this show. Our show is produced by TSC Studios. Our audio engineer is Jershon O'Bale. Artwork and video was designed by the one and only Destin Cunado. Our show note was created by Jake Ligmanowski. Our podcast production manager is Nancy Paul. You can find audio credits to each of our music inside of the show notes. And I'm your host, your coach, your guide down the sales journey, Mr. Donald C. Kelly, the Sales Evangelist.